Is it oh, that's on live. We're live.
Hello. Oh, hi. We're live. Good. Good to know.
Hello, everybody. CES.
Hey, hey.
Crew here.
Hello.
Reporting for duty. Good morning.
You can see. No, does that pop up on your screen, Tom? If I click on the wide shot of the floor.
Right now, I see you. Yeah. You click on the wide shot of the floor.
Holy crap.
Yeah, you're going to have to look at the live stream because I get a different presentation.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Let me...
But, yeah.
What are the details of the chat?
No, I don't usually look at the chat.
Oh, irc.chatroom button.
About 10 minutes away from the show.
So, yeah, that does not pop up on the live stream if I select. Oh, wait a minute. You know what? No, I can't present to everyone. That's what I have to do. Got it.
Oh, look at that. We can see the show floor when Roger does that. Why isn't it switching to me when I talk? Oh, because you're overwriting me. That's why. Yeah.
Yes. So if you mention the wide shot, I'll
cut
to it. That way it won't be any confusion.
Okay, let's make sure it actually goes back to me when I talk, too. Yeah, there we go. Oh. Nice. I'm going to lie. Perfect. Oh, it's looking good.
So, Tom.
Except for the cable management.
Do you want me to order the CES quick hits just in terms of what's written?
Okay, so DJI for sure has to be there. Paul, if you had a favorite down there in those CES hits, let us know. I think TCL and Sony need to be in there.
I pinged you that other one about the shoes. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not see that.
There may not be room for it anyway.
Yeah. Gotta have it. All right, so JBL.
I don't care about the JBL. It's just more that the Google being shoved into things.
Okay, but Signal, yeah. And we got to have Moen up there, right? Ah. Okay, so yes, up to my hip air, you can order them up after that.
Okay.
What's the X mean?
Oh, that's just don't move. Those are definitely in.
No.
They're kind of breaking. It marks the spot. AT&T reportedly won't sell Huawei phones after all.
Oh, they won't?
Yeah.
Wow. Because there have been big noises coming out of Huawei that that was what was going to happen.
Record. So there are no time cues, Tom, so...
Yeah, you should come up with some. I meant to ask you about that earlier. Sorry.
No, it was
before. The chat room. DTMS?
IRC.chatroom. Oh, the chat room is pound chat.
That gives you 10 minutes on the news.
I did time the quick hits.
Are we leaving any gap for anything from Samsung, or it's going to be a bit hard?
Not
to...
Samsung. We'll be wrapped by the time they finish saying hello.
I was just thinking they might have an embargo lift.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out for it. Roger's
going to
keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, I'll get the email the second.
Yeah. Wait, what am I doing?
Their
keeping an eye out for HTC and Samsung?
They've got the 146 inch
HTC
TV
stuff
that was
happening
yesterday.
Right now.
And okay.
Samsung stuff happens at 2.
Yeah.
Oh, two.
I'm trying to do what I can if I'm swapped.
I'll get the email from Samsung. They always email me like 1 minute into their.
I just gave us. Probably get ping pong our quick hits.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about the HTC stuff till halfway through.
I thought it was more poetic when it just said HTC and it was blank. Okay.
You mean, so the H stands for hater.
No.
I'm going to give you 3 minutes on NVIDIA and 3 minutes on LG.
Perfect. And I'll set up NVIDIA. Sarah, you set up LG.
Sure. Yeah. Cool.
All right.
And Peter, it's ThinQ AI, right? Not Think.
No,
because
it was...
he made that joke like, thank you for coming at the end.
Yeah, no, though.
It's Think.
Yeah, it was Think, because it was the Deep Think.
So that was just a joke he made.
Yeah,
it wasn't. Okay.
Funny.
So Deep Think was their own AI platform.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, their own AI service. And Think was, maybe it was Think. Anyway, Think was the platform itself, which is allowing Alexa and Home to be on.
Which is way easier to say than
yeah.
All right. We can start early. Everybody.
I want to know where my.
La 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 la. 93 members. Wow.
Great.
All right.
Gosh, yeah, we're not even
really
that early.
Nope.
How did that happen?
I know. That's just the way it goes.
Phone's on silent.
Yes, please.
Have a live link at
dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Yeah, but if you go to dailytechnewsshow.com, where's the live link?
When we get serious, we'll do that.
Okay. Another day. Got it.
Year five. That's painful.
Yeah.
All right. Sarah, can you do the powered by you?
Sure can, if I can figure out where I left my mic. There it is.
All right.
Let me know.
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2.
Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, January 8th, 2018, from Las Vegas Convention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from the other side of the table, I'm Sarah Lane. Nice and cozy in our little broadcast tower.
In fact, everybody on the show today is from the same place. We're actually in unincorporated Clark County.
That's not correct. We're not in Las Vegas.
Peter Wells is here as well from the Sydney Morning Herald. How's it going, Peter?
I'm very well, Thomas. How are you?
And how are your feet?
They're okay. Oh,
wait, I'm not supposed to ask that. We have an email about that.
We're actually going to get to that later on the show.
Paul Spain, how are you? A host of the New Zealand Tech Podcast, or the NZ Tech Podcast, I should say.
NZ, depends where you're from. Yep, it's good to be here. Always fun being at CES.
Excellent. Our producer, Roger Chang, is making all this happen over there in the corner. Thank you, Roger.
Hello. I'm behind them.
All right, let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Google announced it will combine Android Pay and Google Wallet into a single service called Google Pay. Payment info saved to your Google account will be available in any Google services, including YouTube and Android.
Apple released iOS 11.2.2 and a supplemental update to macOS High Sierra 10.13.2 with Safari and WebKit mitigations for the Spectre chip vulnerability. So now they have mitigations for Meltdown and Spectre.
GoPro expects lower fourth quarter revenue due to weaker demand for its cameras and drones over the holidays, and actually plans to exit the drone business altogether and cut more than 250 jobs. GoPro plans to sell the existing Karma drone inventory as part of a restructure. The company also cut the price of its latest Hero 6 camera from $500 to $400. GoPro founder and CEO Nick Woodman told CNBC Monday he was open to selling the company, and CNBC reports that GoPro has hired JP Morgan to explore some options.
Former Google employees James Damore and David Gutiman are suing Google for unfairly discriminating against them based on their race and political views. Damore was fired in August after posting his views on women in engineering to an internal message board.
Apple shareholders, JANA partners, rather, and California State Teachers Retirement System sent a letter to Apple January 6th asking the company to create ways for parents to restrict children's access to their mobile phones, iPhones in particular, and study the effects of heavy phone usage on mental health.
Sources tell TechCrunch that Telegram plans to launch its own blockchain platform and native cryptocurrency for payments within a chat app called the Telegram Open Network. Telegram users could bypass remittance fees when sending funds across international borders, move sums of money privately, and deliver micropayments that bypass credit card fees.
Facebook has reached a deal with Sony for music streaming. The company previously reached a deal with Universal, leaving Warner as the only remaining of the three major music labels to sign on. Facebook is also shutting down M, its messenger-based virtual assistant that combined human operators with AI. The last day of service for M is January 19th.
Ah, goodbye, M.
Bye, M.
And PowerMat has joined the Wireless Power Consortium, which develops the Qi standard. PowerMat developed the PMA air fuel standard, the major alternative to Qi. PowerMat will contribute technology to the standard and maintain backwards compatibility with Qi. Apple signed on to Qi last year, and PowerMat cited this in its statement on the matter. And that all is the non-CES news.
How about that?
Yeah.
Kind of a big day for non-CES news.
Now,
but
here
even,
are
even more CES news.
Some more top stories. AMD and Intel announced the 8th generation Intel Core processor with Radeon RX Vega M graphics. It's the Kaby Lake R chip with a Radeon RX Vega MGH or RX Vega MGL GPU, that's GH, not GH, connected to 4 gigabytes of HBM2 VRAM. Intel's launching 5 versions with the inclusion of AMD graphics, noted by a G at the end of the chip name. The Kaby Lake R CPUs will have the Intel HD Graphics 630 integrated chip still in there, even though they have the Vega, which can be used for low power needs. A new NUC with the chip should be available this spring. Now, we got some other AMD announcements I want to let people know about, but this was the big one. Everybody's been waiting for this discrete AMD Intel combo here. What do you guys think of it?
Well, I think this is a pretty cool tie-up. I mean, we see more and more of these across the tech industry, especially with the bigger players that have got their fingers in lots of different pies, and they seem reasonably comfortable to partner up and work together. And look, you know, in terms of getting a more powerful machine that doesn't use too much battery and it's all incorporated in, this makes a lot of sense, and you know, I think it's probably going to be good value as well.
I think it's also just the perfect chip for Apple's suite of laptop computers. They've generally used Radeon chips as their graphics processors with Intel chips as well. So this is the first time, I don't know, it looks like a chip that could very easily slip into one of these MacBook Pros, because of course MacBook Pros have never had the greatest graphics capabilities in terms of gaming, which is what people want.
Yeah, do you think that, I mean, it is what that is meant for. I don't get my gut feeling, this is not based on anything in particular, that Apple will go for this for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't know. I mean, they tend to have, yeah, I guess only in the 15 inches do they tend to have that option of the the better graphics. Yeah.
Yeah.
HP, Asus, and Acer all plan to bring Amazon Voice services to their Windows PCs this year. Acer will roll out to select Aspire notebooks and all-in-oners. HP will add it to the Pavilion Waves desktop, which doubles as an audio speaker. And Asus will bring it to select 2018 ZenBook and VivoBook laptops, as well as the Lyra Voice Wi-Fi system and voice assistant. Amazon and Microsoft have been working together to integrate AVS and Cortana.
So maybe Microsoft won't like this. Maybe they will like this. I can't really tell because they are cooperating. But this is Amazon moving even farther, like on Windows laptops here, just use Amazon instead.
Yeah, I think it's certainly going to make things harder for Cortana when we see Amazon just becoming so dominant with Alexa.
Although the idea is that Cortana is good for things that she is not, she who shall not be named, is not. And so, you know, maybe this is the ideal situation.
Is this one of those the enemy of my enemy is my friend maybe things where they don't want Google to be sneaking into laptops? So, yeah, partner up with Amazon. That seems to be the biggest competitor right now.
Yeah. And if you already have an Echo or something like that, you know, that could be good for you. Toyota showed off its e-Pilot autonomous concept electric car resembling a small shuttle, not a space shuttle, like, you know, a bus shuttle. It has a modular interior that can be used for ride hailing, cargo transport, on-demand delivery, even mobile hotel rooms was one of the use cases they suggested that it might be used for. I'm not sure that I would use it for that. The e-Pilot comes in different sizes as well, so you could have a smaller one for something like pizza delivery, a larger one for your luxury hotel room. Toyota plans to begin testing in the U.S. in the early 2020s, and they also hope to show it off at the Tokyo Olympic Games, which is also in 2020.
Well, I'm trying to understand how the mobile hotel room would work. Where would it be? It still has to physically be somewhere.
I guess it just drives you around town,
and you just sort of soothe to sleep, maybe if you.
Well, don't use it instead of, you know. I guess jumping on a plane or a short journey.
Possibly,
it's,
right?
It's like a sleeper and a train.
Right,
so you just you know it picks you up at your door in San Francisco. You wake up in the morning or X hours later, and you're in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's cool. It's like Amtrak for the rest of us.
Well, is it for the rest, or will it be high price?
I mean, might not be cheap.
We're getting to the point where there's like these solutions that where I go like, well, what's the problem? What is this for?
And obviously, we leaped to the weirdest one of these. the more mundane cargo transport, ride hailing, etc. I think this is interesting that Toyota's starting to show off, like, hey, here's some enterprise level stuff. Here's some transport problem stuff, not just personal use cases. This is the kind of thing that sometimes feels like it might be the first self-driving cars that a lot of people ride in. Because companies that operate tours or shuttle systems might jump on this when they can't develop their own.
Well, it wouldn't be CES without a really big television that will never fit in any of our houses. But hey, I can't speak for you out there at home. Samsung has a 146-inch 4K micro LED wall that's actually called the wall. Micro LED is similar to OLED. It doesn't need a backlight, so it's similar to how video billboards are made, but with smaller LEDs, so you can't see the pixels unless you're within a foot or so of the display. Samsung says the wall is a consumer product and available for purchase sometime this year, with more detail coming in the spring. It's somehow modular, which allows you to start with a few panels and then add them as you need a bigger and bigger television. That's pretty cool. No details released on how this actually works, though. So in concept, it's cool anyway. Samsung also has two 8K proof of concept models, the Q9S, which can upscale any video, including standard F, to look crisp in 8K. Okay.
I mean, big TVs, obviously, always a standard, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said. But modular screens like that. I've seen a couple of ideas like this along the way, but this is the I don't know if it's the highest profile one, but this is the one where it feels like, okay, I'd like some details on how you're really going to make this work, but they're doing it over there in their booth.
Well, and the idea that, and I know there's some question about how the modular interface is actually working, but depending on, hey, not even necessarily always going bigger with a TV, maybe the TV, for whatever reason, you move to a new place, you've got wall space that's not quite right, take a little bit off of it.
eBay those extra panels.
Right, yeah, or put them in storage or whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
But it's
could you make them
cool.
into a separate TV in the other room?
Well, break it down and sort of spread them around when you can't all agree on what to watch.
It's like a worm, like you cut and then it's two worms.
Or guests
and they
come
both
over,
live.
You give them one panel.
Yeah,
here you go.
Snap one off, take it to holidays. Yeah.
A little one you can squeeze in your pocket.
It is fascinating though. And the micro LED thing is, that I don't know that will become the next wave. It seems like Quantum Dot, and Samsung has Quantum Dot TVs that they're showing off as well, is probably the bigger deal. But that is interesting. D-Link, Asus are all showing off 802.11ax Wi-Fi routers. 802.11ax is in early development. It's not set for a standard release until 2019 from IEEE. But when it comes, it can do about 3.2 gigabits per second, or even, depending on how it's implemented, theoretically go up from 10 to 14 gigabits per second, all on wireless. It can support more devices at once, and it has upload and download parity, helps with congestion. Anyway, 802.11ax is supposed to solve all your wireless ills. The D-Link AX11000 Ultra promises to get you those speeds up to 11 gigabits per second over Wi-Fi. It sort of looks like a stealth bomber with 8 antennas. Asus has the RT-AX88U. That promises 6 gigabits per second. There are no devices that work with 802.11ax yet, so hence they're not saying they're going to ship these routers until the second half of 2018, after maybe a phone or two come out with support.
I think this is great. It's good to see this next generation of Wi-Fi coming along. I've just done a bit of reading behind the scenes on how it works, and it really seems to be a bit of a rethinking on the Wi-Fi that we have today. And of course, we're used to new generations coming out sort of ahead of them being ratified, and that helps bring the prices down, gives people a chance to, you know, test them and get early access. So any announcements like this, I'm looking forward to, because Wi-Fi is still not the best today, right?
Yeah. I mean, what do you think, Peter?
I just kind of wish that they would get a marketing team to come up with some better names for this stuff.
Than 802.11 AXE? Mm. The AXE.
I guess
AXE
so.
AXE is all of your problems. AXE it to do anything. See, you just need to work right the way you're given.
Roger, stop flashing the move on thing.
you're right. I mean, it's not a fancy name, but hey, it's it, like all of these things, whenever you're like 802.11n was the same way at one point, 802.11ac was the same way. It's more than you need, probably more than your internet service can deliver, but eventually it will come. The drill of the CES booth being put together is telling us that we are done. To get all tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com.
We should mention this is the day before the show floor officially opens, so people are literally putting together booths.
Yeah.
Right around next door. So yeah. That's just how it goes.
Now, we got a couple of the big press conferences already happening. HTC is happening right now. Samsung's going to happen right after we're done. Sony's tonight. But NVIDIA had theirs yesterday and announced a couple of things that of interest that we're going to talk about here. One is a hardware initiative with Acer, Asus, and HP called the BFGD, which I'm sure they're hoping people will misinterpret what it stands for. But it actually stands for big format gaming displays. It uses NVIDIA G-Sync on a 65-inch 4K screen with 120 hertz to give you HDR gaming tear-free. It's got Shield platform built in, Google Assistant built in, full Direct A backlight, 1000 nit peak luminance, and DCI-P3 color gamut to go on sale this summer. So it's... It could theoretically be a standalone with Shield built in, because you can do some gaming right from the actual television. But the idea is you could also pair it up with your computer and get the best of both worlds. Now, does this capture anyone's imagination here?
I definitely want one. I don't think I could afford one or even fit one into the house. So, yeah. But, yeah, no, it does look very, very cool. I love seeing I guess gaming PCs are going to be pretty huge at CES this year, I think, just because it seems to be the last profitable, you know, area of PC gaming. The PC market. It's one of those areas where you've got your Alienwares and companies like that can actually charge a premium, and people will pay that premium because there are a lot of nerds our age now who used to build their own systems, don't have time for it anymore, but do have a lot of money that they can throw on one of those gaming PCs.
And it feels like a new product category to have not just a smart TV, which is what this is with the Shield built in, but a smart, capable gaming PC. Because paired with the GeForce streaming service, you can just or the Shield version of the GeForce streaming service, you can just play games on within the television. Mm. And of course, they also expanded the beta test of the GeForce Now streaming service. That was the one they announced at last year's CES. So starting this week, beta users of the Mac client will be able to install and run the Windows app. So you could have that on your PC and hook it up to the BFGD and do all kinds of crazy things.
Well, what's interesting is that for the longest time, real quick, is that display technology has either been driven solely on a PC platform or consumer electronics with HDTV. You kind of see it slowly melding together. I mean, with HDTV, it was supposed to do that already, but you know, PC settled on the 16:10 aspect ratio, while HDTV settled on the 16:9. And so there were some similarities. You could use both, but they weren't quite the exact same display.
Well, I thought you were finished.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Because all I was going to add was, we used to think, well, I don't know if I want my smart TV built into the TV. I want a separate one. And a lot of people still think that. But smart TVs starting to sell well on their own.
Yeah, I mean, I was certainly one of those that thought the idea of putting all the smarts in the TV was not very smart. But look, I've got a smart TV now that's probably 3 years or so old, and we still, you know, utilize that interface as well as the other things that are plugged into it.
And so if you offload a lot of this stuff to the internet, like with the GeForce Now or the Shield service, you don't need all the guts in the TV to be all that. It's like a thin blank. And NVIDIA also announced the autonomous driving Xavier system on a chip, shipping to select customers. There are two new Pegasus AI software platforms running on Xavier. Drive IX interprets sensor data for users, so like facial recognition, gaze tracking, to change the environment. So if you're actually driving, you can tell if you're nodding off to sleep and wake you up, stuff like that. Know where you're paying attention on the road. Also, it could provide certain benefits to you, even if you're just a passenger in a self-driving car. Drive AR is where it really gets fun. That's the augmented reality interface. You can put up road conditions, points of interest on the windshield, on the screen for you. And it could provide entertainment if you're a passenger as well. The Pegasus motherboard now packs two Xavier socks and two GPUs in a package the size of a license plate. You used to have to fit in the trunk, so it's getting smaller. They've got about 320 partners. VW is going to build on Drive IX. VW ID Buzz electric car will feature that. Baidu and carmaker ZF will use NVIDIA for Baidu's Apollo project. That's their self-driving car. And Uber has been using NVIDIA hardware in its AI systems. NVIDIA is also collaborating with Aurora, which is the former Google self-driving guy, Chris Urmson's company, on the self-driving platform. So NVIDIA is certainly leading the way in powering autonomous cars.
Yeah, yeah. This was actually the story of the year for me last year, just because I know nothing about cars. So I found it very fascinating to really deep dive into that car hall. I think it's the North Hall, and really find out kind of the brains behind these new services. And yeah, NVIDIA just seems to have really grabbed that market, and kind of by accident, that they didn't really understand that their GPUs were the ones being used in all of these these car manufacturers, and once they discovered that, they went hard on it.
So they seized the opportunity.
Yeah.
I love the idea of the Drive AR concept. You imagine turning all of the glass within your car into augmented reality screens.
That
could be kind of cool.
I mean, if you've got a level 5 self-driving car taking care of the driving, you can turn all those windows into video screens.
Yeah, I think Mercedes showed off a demo or that concept in the past, but this is obviously the bits and pieces to make that work.
LG had its press conference bright and early this morning, 8 a.m. Pacific time. And speaking of smart, LG's new kind of branding for all of its smart products and services is called Think AI, think with a Q at the end of it, and says there's three things that are great about it. Learn habits over time, like a heating device or a cleaning device or car technology as it knows you, its owner, bringing AI to everyday products, and then openness and working with other platforms. One of the big other platforms being Google Assistant, which is now going to be integrated into the new OLED displays. And I know, Peter, you were actually at the conference this morning. What stuck out to you? Because we've got now a 65-inch LG rollable OLED display. That was pretty cool. It's just sort of a bigger version of what we had already seen a couple of years ago.
Yep.
You impressed?
Well, actually, the LG rollable display was from a company called LG Display, which is technically a separate company to LG, which is so strange, but they always make that point.
It's part of the K-ball, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So they didn't have that on display this morning, but they did talk. I guess it was incredible how often they went back to Google Assistant and talking about how their platform is different to any of the other TV manufacturers out there, because they are opening up their platform for everyone. And they did mention Amazon Alexa once throughout the presentation, and then not one of the examples they gave was about Amazon. Right. So it was interesting. It was like, yeah, they're going to be there, but look how awesome Google is.
Google also had their own representative on stage as well. So that absolutely might have been a decision that they made beforehand to just kind of put Google Assistant front and center. New OLEDs also going to sport LG's new Alpha 9 processor. The company says it's 35% faster in terms of both CPU and GPU and features 50% more memory. And then, of course, support for 120 frames per second video and something they call 4K Cinema HDR, which is optimized HDR for dynamic tone mapping.
And rollable. They showed the one that like rolls up like a shade.
Yes.
Crazy.
I know. Do you want a rollable display?
Sure.
That looks great. Dynamic HDR.
Why not? Do I have to pay for
our
it, though?
Our car windows are videos now. I mean, yeah, there is what's up is down.
There's a slight challenge with all of these cool things. Is they're a little bit pricey to start with. But, of course, if we can find good, relevant uses and they can go mass market, then we can all have one.
A lot of emphasis, too, on robots at the LG press conference. One was called Chloe. It didn't do very well in in the stage presentation.
Our first big CES demo fail.
Right. Yeah. It was, you know, lots of jokes about this robot doesn't seem to like me very much. But the idea is that people hopefully are more comfortable giving orders and getting information from something that resembles a robot that thinks and feels and is cute and blinks at you.
Yeah, it was up on stage last year as well. No information on this shipping. I asked LG after the conference was over, and they still haven't mentioned it was shipping. Maybe they changed their mind after it played up on stage. Who knows?
The interview Think, it's hard because the Q is at the end. It's hard to say. The Think refrigerator, if you thought smart refrigerators were a thing of the past, think no more. Has a 29-inch touchscreen display and can sort of work as a hub for a lot of your other smart products at home. And then the AI technology, LG says, will have proactive service, meaning that instead of you having to call a technician if something's wrong that you don't know how to fix for an unknown issue, in theory, Think can detect the issue before it occurs and then send that info to a service center ahead of time and do your work for you. Now, of course, this would assume that it's always broken when the software says it is, but assuming that it works properly, I guess I could save you a few phone calls.
Yeah,
what stands out to you the most about?
I mean, LG is underwhelming this year, and part of the reason is they announced a lot of their coolest stuff last week. And that's been a thing that they do at CES. So I'm not surprised that people are looking at this and saying, I heard about the robot, but it's not really shipping. You know, like your rollable OLED TV. I mean, can I buy one? When can I buy that? It's a cool demo. Like that's kind of the feeling from LG right now. We've got HTC doing their announcement right now. HTC showcased the Vive Pro, an updated PC-powered virtual reality headset that adds a high-res display. 2880 by 1600, so that's a little bit better than the previous 2160 by 1200. In fact, a 74% increase in pixel density over the regular Vive, which is now at 615 PPI. And the company also showcased a wireless adapter, which will let users stream content wirelessly using YGig, so the headset would become truly untethered. It'll have integrated headphones and dual mics. HTC currently sells an add-on that brings the headphones to the current Gen 5, but the Vive Pro will use Valve's updated SteamVR 2.0 tracking system as well, which allows for more active tracking. Vive Pro takes premium VR to a new level. Do you agree with
HTC? I guess.
No details on pricing or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, this is HTC's most successful product, so of course they're going to lead with a new version of it, but it just seems like a spec update, which is good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think that adding the wireless capability is important because, you know, this is higher end than mostly what we see in terms of light VR type wearables. So unless you want something big and chunky, that idea of being able to have your PC drive it but not have to be carrying around a lead weight on your head makes a bit of sense.
That wireless adapter won't be releasing until this summer, and there's no price on that either, but again, it's coming from HTC. There have been third-party adapters. This one's coming out of HTC's own house rather than its Vivex accelerator program. So there you go with HTC. Let's finish with a lightning round of other CES stuff that we found interesting. Starting, Peter, with your favorite so far, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a very small update, but Osmo released a smartphone stabilizer, the Osmo 2, which will be exclusively sold in Apple stores for $129, which is a very big price drop from the original Osmo, which sold for $299. I love this little device, and I've been meaning to buy one for a very long time, so I'm going to run over to their booth straight away and play with it. They've also released a Ronin S, which is designed for mirrorless cameras as well. So they're really getting into that whole space, and yeah, I just think it's some really, really cool stuff. Nothing groundbreaking, but very cool stuff.
Excellent.
As promised, I promised this last week, TCL announced its 6 Series Roku TVs with a new Roku TV voice remote, 802.11ac Wi-Fi, Ethernet, and 3 HDMI 2.0a ports. There's also the 5 Series without the metal styling of the 6. TCL also announced the Roku Smart Soundbar, which can be paired to a TV or just be used as a standalone speaker.
Yeah.
So the Roku smart devices from OEMs officially rolling out. TCL had announced that they would have something at CES. I haven't seen anything
else
yet.
And they weren't lying.
And they weren't. Wow. Yeah.
Sony announced 3 Xperia phones. These were highly anticipated by a lot of folks. The Xperia 5.2-inch 1080p XA2 with a 23-megapixel sensor, 4K video, and 120-frame-per-second slow-mo capability, as well as the ability to shoot at an ISO of up to 1280. The XA2 Ultra has a 6-inch screen and 4 gigabytes of RAM, has 2 front-facing cameras for better selfies, and the 5.5-inch but 720p Xperia L2, so it's a little bigger but a little less resolution, is also coming out. All 3 phones have a rear-mounted fingerprint sensor, which Sony had not done a fingerprint sensor before. None of them have price or release date.
Actually, they have done fingerprint readers, but they've normally been on the side of the phone.
Oh, that's right. They did do the side ones. You're right.
Yeah. Which were, I love the side ones.
Well, okay. I'd love to get your opinion on this next one. Signal, a company with no vowels, is a wristband / watch strap product anyway from InnoModal Lab, which was actually spun out of Samsung's incubator, South Korean startup. Allows you to use your finger as a phone receiver. And the way it works is if I'm wearing this strap, I pair it to a phone and I put my finger up to my ear. I can hear callers just because the vibrations are traveling from my wrist down my finger. And supposedly early reports say the audio wasn't like amazing, but it's fine.
But it works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So let's say, I asked Actor and I were actually kind of laughing about this because I was like, I don't want to do that. That just seems like that's going to hurt my hand. And he said, well, what if you're on a subway, your phone's somewhere in a bag, you got your strap on, it's crowded, you kind of do this because you really need to talk to somebody in a pinch, kind of cool.
Did you play with it last night at Unveiled?
I did not get a chance to, no.
Yeah, it kind of worked. I mean, it did work. It sounded okay. I felt very strange doing it, though.
I want something wireless, and my finger becomes a wire.
Right, yeah. I mean, at that point, you're really just holding that strap up to your...
Right.
I mean, it's maybe slightly more comfortable, but it's not totally different, right?
Yeah. I think it's more comfortable than the wearables that we have today in terms of our ability to, you know, hold your watch up to speak into and listen to and so on.
Hip Air from Helite is an $800 belt with 2 airbags over the hips that auto-inflate within 0.2 seconds if it detects a fall to absorb 90% of the impact. The problem is the people who need to wear this don't wear the current hip pads that you can get. They're certainly not going to pay $800 to wear a belt that's going to turn into a big tire.
I don't know. Boomers are pretty rich. I can see the selling.
It's very expensive.
It's a very expensive.
That's an expensive belt. Now, can you put a price on your hips? Also expensive. Yeah.
The biggest problem is that Helite isn't working with insurance companies yet. So
right.
You got to pay for this all out of pocket.
Right.
Which, if you're
cosmetic,
if you're on a fixed income and you're retired,
Ring announced 2 versions of its stick-up cam and Ring Beams LED lights for pathway, stairway, and spotlights. They work with other Ring devices to light up when triggered, and then the Ring Alarm home security system will ship this spring.
And Garmin announced the Forerunner 645 Music, which lets you save music to the smartwatch to play back 3.5 gigabytes of music. They say it's about 500 songs over Bluetooth. You don't have to have your smartphone present. You can play them right from the watch. That's at $449, though. But it is available now. I'll give them credit for having a price and not even just a release date, but you can buy it today.
There's a bit of competition that's already doing something similar. So, I think they're probably a little bit behind the eight ball on this one.
Yeah.
GE is showing off a smart home hub with a 27-inch touch screen with 2 cameras in one. No price yet, but it's expected to be available in the second half of this year. Runs the Haller U+ smart light platform and works with other GE smart appliances.
A little bit of a lock into an ecosystem there, but I guess if you love everything GE makes, you could have a smart thing. Also, you have to replace your vent with it. So you have to really kind of rethink how you do everything in your kitchen because it's sort of in the hood replacement situation. Well, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. We've got time for one email before we're out of here.
So this one comes from James Smith. He lives in Irvine, California. Hello, James. And he says, I'm wearing my grumpy old man hat today. People talk a lot about how much better it is to cover CES from home rather than actually going there. And the people who go complain about the crowds and got to walk everywhere. Seems like I don't know, a topic for a journalism podcast, but I just want to hear about the gadgets themselves. I don't care as much about how much walking all you journalists are doing to get to all the gadgets. And I mean, I kind of had to laugh when I first read this because I'm like, well, try to be here sometime. And you're going to do a lot of walking. But it's true. When you're not here, the whole spectacle is completely lost on you.
And you want to know what the stuff is.
That's the point of other people going.
I know your feet hurt.
Right.
Yeah. No, yeah. I get it, James. I get it.
Yeah, we get it. So thanks for the reminder. We will try to stick to the facts as much as possible.
And I've got to say, as someone who just a couple of years ago was sitting at home in Sydney, Australia, listening to people complain about CES and walking around, as terrible as it gets sometimes, I love every second of this ridiculous conference. It's so much fun. I love it to death.
There you go. Perfect.
I will say, as someone who's attended this event more than 13 times in their lifespan, 5 is enough.
fine. We're trying to go out on a positive.
Yet Roger, you're still here, Roger.
I'm loving being back after a break.
Because I love you guys and I want to support you.
I have to say, I was a little skeptical about coming back last year, but I had a lot of fun doing it. And then this year, CEA has been great, giving us this little booth here on the floor,
it's awesome.
Which has been fantastic. So,
you know, and also real quick, it also depends on how you approach it. I really like the way we're doing it this year, and it's allowed us to do a lot more things that we wouldn't have been able to do. Like if we were attached to a larger media organization where, you know, we're set on specific beats.
Well, that's it. Time to say thanks to our folks. Paul Spain, thank you for being here.
Always fun.
Yeah. Let folks know where they can find what you're doing.
PaulSpain.com. That's where my updates are. And the new project that I'm working on, which is Disruption Playbook. It's all about innovation and disruption and how people and companies achieve it. Still a work in progress, but there's a bit of information online there at DisruptionPlaybook.com.
And Peter Wells, my friend, where can folks find what you're doing?
Just head to the Twitters and search for Peter Wells. That's the easiest way to follow me.
Excellent. Thank you both for being here. Thanks, everybody, for watching. And Sarah, we will be able to meet some people in person tomorrow if they're in Las Vegas or unincorporated Clark County.
That's correct. We're going to be at the Level Up Arcade and Bar, which is inside the MGM Grand, Tuesday, January 9th. It's tomorrow, 8 p.m. Pacific time. We'd love to see you there. Come say hi, have a drink, or a non-alcoholic one, whatever. It's fine.
Yep.
But yeah, we want to meet as many of you as possible and get to know y'all. So thanks in advance for coming to our little meetup.
Yeah. Hope everybody's enjoying the coverage. We'll be back here tomorrow, right?
Yeah. In fact, same time, same place. We are live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC, whether we're at CES or wherever we are in the world. Do this every day, weekdays anyway, at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. If you want to email us, our website is our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. See, if I go out of order, everything falls apart. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com.
Back tomorrow with Allison Sheridan and Patrick Norton as our guest. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
And we're done.
Oh, that's such a weird experience without the music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I held my hand up.
No, it's but even it's like a few tech things you should know where I'm like in my mind, I'm like, and go. Right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That was great.
Loved it.
Like,
we actually so got, I mean, that we got really through good. More than I thought we would.
It did not feel as rushed as it could have. Mm. We had time to talk, but then every time I look, I'm like, oh, we've been chatting for a while. I'm like, oh, but we're on time.
You guys did a really good job, like, going through each one. I know we had to skip a few things, but it didn't feel like you cut any of the information short in order to get, you know, to move on. So it was great. I like I kind of confused with some of the tabs because there are so many. I have a small screen.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to leave the extra stuff we didn't get to in the show notes, too. So if anybody's curious, like, what did you leave for time? And, of course, Rich may be using some of this in Daily Tech Headlines tomorrow as well.
Oh, yeah. And just one thing for the LG what was it, the HDR, one of the big announcements about that was up until now the OLED TVs have only ever supported Dolby HDR. Mm-hmm. By adding HDR10, they will now support HDR from Xbox and PlayStation.
Oh.
So yeah, like the OLED was never a great gaming TV for that reason. Mm-hmm. It is now a not only the best TV, yeah, to watch movies, but also games.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I'm just levelating up.
So show titles?
Yeah, what do we call this?
So if you guys want to see it, go to showbot.chatrealm.net. Top of the list, we got Just Another Pixel in the Wall, The Uncanny X-Van, Another Pixel in the Wall, Are You Sure the F Stands for Format?
That's what you were saying.
It's Hip to Be Safe. Samsung Builds the Wall, Tech in Excess, and CES is in Excess. LG is Ready to Roll. LG keeps rolling. Avive and Well. Get it? Alive and Well.
Daily Format News Show? Is that what that's
Fingers on the Pulse of New Wearables.
I've got too much distracting me here to really pick, so I'll let you guys figure it out. I'm going to put CES 2018 colon and then whatever you decide.
I like Just Another Pixel on the Wall. Gotta love this ridiculous conference. I've always been curious to know that someone who's like been at CES like since it was a much smaller trade show back in Chicago and earlier.
Oh, like way back, yeah.
So tiny. IoT Internet of Teases. Five more pixels for your face. Signal finger phone.
What do you think?
I always like Pink Floyd references. So yeah, another pixel on the wall.
That's good.
Stuck with me.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. That was wonderful.
All right.
They were all wonderful, though. Wonderful.
They're all our favorites.
But that one is my special favorite.
Fair enough. All right. I'll throw it in another vote just to push it up.
So another pixel in the wall.
Yes.
And I'm capitalizing.
And it's crazy out here. Anyone who's never been to a trade show while they're still putting it up, like a big like industry wide one, like there's so much activity outside. There's a forklifts, people running around in their little carts.
Yeah, I'm curious to listen later and see how much, because it sounded so loud to me, but. Maybe not mics,
though, in the headphones. Really it was not
so bad.
Yeah. I mean, you can hear it, but it's not.
It's not. Yeah, it wasn't like the forklift was right behind us, which it was.
Which it literally was.
Kurt Wagner, who is a social media guy for Recode, posted a picture on Twitter just now in some casino that is not named that features the world's greatest hot sandwich.
Ooh.
Which seems like something I need to discover.
I want to know this hot sandwich. I was really disappointed. So the Hilton became the West. What is it called?
Westgate.
There used to be a great, like, kind of like a Jersey Mike sandwich place in there, but it's not there anymore.
That well, I need Mike to know place. Where it is.
Peter and Paul, Ethan Kane in our chat room wanted to point out that you guys can use Showbot TV if you're doing a live show, if that's helpful.
That is very cool. Thank you. I'll have to have a look. Yeah, Roger, I was at IFA. I think you were there, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, their setup there is nuts. The day that they're setting up, I think their occupational health and safety laws are slightly different than they are out here.
Maybe they have them.
Yeah.
We have them, but somehow they mysteriously don't matter when something happens.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I shouldn't talk. I might get someone in trouble.
I want to
hear that story.
Yeah. I'll tell it after the stream stops. Maybe I'll save it for the patrons.
Save it for the live meetup. I think I might blow off what I'm supposed to be going to and come to that.
So we're not going to talk about our feet.
No.
We are going to talk about we have talked walking. About forklifts.
I was like, why would we talk about
fair?
Mm-hmm.
Forklifts are, you know, it might be something that's,
you know,
wonder what that was.
Sadly, and Vegas has amazing food, or unincorporated Clark County has amazing food. I never remember enjoying eating here. I never get excited about, I want to go eat somewhere.
Well,
everything's such a, it's either really expensive or it's really hard to get into or it's fast food.
The problem that I have is that I've never been to CES and like really had a lot of free time just because you're working. And when you do that, it's like you wait until you're half dead and you're like, I'll eat anything. So then you just eat garbage. That's my problem.
I will say, having been to a SEMA show, which is the automotive like aftermarket parts guys in the same location, the LVCC, our editor who came with us actually went to school here, and so she pointed out all the places to eat, which was great because it was like off the beaten track. It wasn't wildly expensive. It was still very good, and it wasn't packed full of people.
Well, if you follow Mitzula on Twitter, Mitzula is a Vegas native, and he pointed out for people going to the DTNS meetup tomorrow, there's a bow place. That's not far from the convention center.
Not to be confused with bow.
Yeah.
It's
a B-A-O.
Bow.
It's a bow.
It's Chinese food. You probably haven't heard of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got a
bun. Sort of a bun thing.
It's the way it's pronounced.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't claiming.
Like, you're saying bow. I thought you were saying bowels. It's like,
well,
what?
That's why I said that's not the top. We're not trying to send you to a toilet bunch.
I know. It's just
one of them funny foods called bow.
Bow. Bow. Bow. It just sounds like someone with a southern accent saying oil. Ow.
Wheel.
You got the press release?
Wheel.
Yeah, I just got Samsung's press release.
Oh, yeah. So
now,
what's up with Samsung? We'll go into depth on it on tomorrow's show, too, but. What are they saying?
There's just one press release so far. They normally send out three or four. And it's just all about their Internet of Things being open. LG did the same thing today. They talked about how open their... I think LG's openness is a lot more open than Samsung's openness, which is all about Bixby.
Isn't it funny how that can happen?
But who knows? Maybe.
Well, maybe they're getting smart things sort of it.
Yeah.
Smart things being the platform. He doesn't mean that they're finally getting smart. It's about time they got smart. Oops.
Yeah. Don't know about not including Home or Amazon in their stuff. I think LG's move is much smarter, personally.
Yeah.
Well, they should at least give the options, right? So you can use Samsung's platform, or you can use the others. It's important to be agnostic.
Like, I remember speaking to a Samsung person about 2 years ago who was talking about how they were going to stop like reinventing things that Android gave them for free. And so they were shutting down their photo service and they were shutting down their music service. And now they heavily promote Google Music and Google Photos. And I don't understand why. Like, it feels like that part of the organization wasn't talking to the Bixby part of the organization.
The joy of the big multinationals.
Indeed. Speaking of, though, I'm supposed to write an article about that very topic, so I should probably bugger off.
Yeah, don't worry.
Hey, I'll shut down the
All right, thanks everybody for watching.
Thank
we'll be
you.
Back tomorrow.
See ya.
Thanks,
bye.
See ya.